Hi, this is Chelsea, and I have a quick announcement. I've opened a Facebook group called Deliberations Room. In it, you'll find a video where you can see what a Faramond friction hitch looks like, as well as see how it works. If you have any questions about the case or have something to scream at the jury and you need an outlet, please check out the room. It's a great place to continue the debate. That's Deliberations Room on Facebook. Today's episode will run ad-free. Please enjoy.
Jurors were sent to deliberations in the salacious trial of Samantha Hall, nicknamed Fed Fatale in the tabloids.
Charged with first-degree murder, an arguably risky charge given that the victim, Troy Singer, died of injury during a lone sex act.
Your verdict should not be influenced by feelings of prejudice, bias, or sympathy. Your verdict must be based on the evidence.
Samantha Hall faces a murder conviction in the death of Troy Singer, her submissive lover she instructed to hang with a rope in her absence. Finding her responsible for intent, negligence, or reasonable conduct will be the difference between a first-degree, manslaughter, or not guilty verdict. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress. The state of Florida argued there were three factors motivating Samantha Hall to orchestrate the death of her boyfriend, Troy. The first was a desire to be rid of him. The second was monetary gain. The third was the most dramatic incentive. The state called psychiatrist Dr. Mesnick to testify.
Erotophonophilia is a paraphilia or fetish in which a person derives sexual gratification from murdering or imagining they're murdering someone else.
That's a disturbing idea. Murder how?
It varies. For a sufferer, eroticism hinges on a predatory instinct. This condition takes many shapes. Some people need to torture their victims to receive pleasure. Others need to mutilate their victims post-mortem. For some, the control over their victim with the use of a weapon, such as a gun or a knife, is the exciting aspect. The commonality between every case is a sexual pleasure that's contingent on the death of another person.
Is it possible for someone to receive sexual gratification from a death of which they're not present?
Yes.
Doctor, I asked you to review Samantha Hall's online FetFinder message log. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Going back to when she opened the account in 2011, yes?
Yes.
Did you identify anything indicative of erotophonophilia in her correspondences?
Yes, I did.
And is this one of the messages you identified?
Yes.
Your Honor, at this time we'd like to introduce State Exhibit 133. Doctor, can you verify that this message was sent on November 22, 2012, from Samantha Hall's account to Troy Singer's account?
Yes.
Excellent. Please read the content of the message for the jury.
I need to know how committed you are to me. You will exist for my needs. If I hurt you, I want to look into your eyes and watch you take that pain willingly, because you know it brings me pleasure.
Thank you, Doctor. Why did you identify this message?
This is a message about Samantha's sexual need to control. The means by which she obtains that control is pain.
Would you characterize that as sexual sadism?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, I'd like you to identify another conversation from the fall of 2012. I believe you flagged this one also. Do you recognize this document?
Yes. This is the one indicated erotophonophilia, not just sadism.
Before I introduce this into evidence, would you please clarify your last statement? What is the difference between sadism and erotophonophilia?
Sadism is pleasure derived from pain. Erotophonophilia is pleasure derived from murder.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to introduce State Exhibit 134. Doctor, can you please verify the date on that document?
November 26, 2012.
Thank you. Can you please read the highlighted message?
I want to slowly watch the life drain out of you. I want to feel the pulse in your neck fade under the palm of my hands. I want to watch your eyes fill up with fear and know I can take everything from you in seconds, and that you would lie there and allow me to do it.
On cross-examination, Mr. Cortez brought up the significance of context within these correspondences.
Dr. Mesnick, drawing your attention to the November 26th message.
Yes.
Did you read the entirety of the correspondence between Samantha and Troy?
Yes.
this was a conversation after all, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Samantha Hall was responding to something Troy said.
Yes.
Can you please read the message Troy wrote prompting Samantha's response?
It says, "I've never had so strong an urge to give myself over to someone. I'll finish when you say finish. I'll breathe when you say breathe. Choke me, use me, hurt me. Tell me what you want and it's yours."
Do those sound like the words of a sexual masochist?
Yes, I believe so. But the responsibility
in
these...
Dr. Mesnick, isn't it the act of physically taking another person's life that gives sex killers their kicks?
Objection, vague as to kicks.
I'll rephrase. That gives sex killers their gratification.
Sufferers of erotophonophilia, and no, their killings don't necessitate physicality.
Have you ever evaluated a sufferer of erotophonophilia who didn't commit their murders by hand?
I've evaluated patients who killed with guns.
From how great of a distance? How far away did they use their guns?
8 to 15 feet from across rooms.
But not across towns?
No.
The thing to realize is that the defense didn't see this coming. The state never asked to psychoanalyze Samantha, so you can blame it on Mr. Cortez's short-sightedness, but he didn't have a psychotherapist ready to go. The lucky thing about the trial's media coverage is that it caught the attention of Dr. Rhodes, a criminal psychopathologist from California. There are reports he flew himself to Florida to testify at his own cost.
That is wrong.
He was a fan favorite.
And grossly irresponsible. Erotophonophilia is lust killing. Lust killers get off on killing and hurting and dismembering.
Dr. Rhodes...
That's what gets them off.
Right. But
you can't assign that diagnosis to any kind of killer. There's a hands-on sexual aspect of these murders. What's next? Someone hiring a hitman is a lust killer?
Right.
Someone dropping a bomb is a lust killer?
Your Honor, is there a question?
I'm trying.
I'll answer anybody's questions. You can't have a lust killing without lust or killer.
Objection!
Jesus. Like, two experts. Experts. In the same field have such different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gotta be honest. There was a moment that I thought, you know, this could have been something that Samantha could have gotten off on. But then there was this other testimony, and it sounds, I don't know. It's one person's word against another, but also Dr. Mesnick's testimony. She even said that she'd never come across a lust killer who got off on it from across town.
Right.
So I'm leaning on the side of, what was his name again?
Dr. Rhodes.
Dr. Rhodes. I can't keep everyone in there.
He's so much less credible than her. She seemed like an educated, focused, clinical doctor. And he was unhinged and flailing around. And I heard that he might have even flown himself. To me, it seems like he's somebody that just wanted to be on TV and be famous for being a part of the case.
But he
I
had
don't
credentials.
Really, I don't give as
really
much weight
good,
to his testimony.
We had really good credentials.
Can I just read from the jury instructions to remind us of what we do with expert witnesses?
Yes, please. Yes. I know.
So expert witnesses are like any other witnesses with one exception. The law permits an expert witness to give her opinion. Mm. However, an expert's opinion is only reliable when given on a subject about which you believe her to be an expert. Like any other witnesses, you may believe or disbelieve all or any parts of expert's testimony.
Right. I believe Dr. Mesnick to be an expert on this.
They're both technically experts.
Yeah.
It's just whose opinion we...
I mean, what I just read kind of gives us permission to have our own conscience usurp anyone else's credentials, which is bizarre.
Which is actually kind of disturbing that we have no... I mean, I don't have a psychiatric background, so it's like, how are we supposed to judge?
But if your gut says that they're right or wrong, then that is more important than what any school or medical facility...
And in this point, we're allowed to make an assumption, I guess.
To me, what Dr. Mesnick said just kind of validates everything that we've been talking about thus far. She talked about how this was about what's the term for someone that has the deaf?
Erotophonophilia.
Yeah, someone who has that. For them, it's about there's a fantasy of murder and it's about their gratification from it happening to the other person. And what have we been talking about this whole time? We've been talking about how it's about her. This is about her pleasure for what she was doing to him. Like, it just seems like a natural extension of what we've already been exploring in their relationship, which is that she was doing this stuff to him for her benefit, for her right. pleasure. She specifically said to him, "This is for me." And what Dr. Mesnick said just seems to validate all of that.
Except yeah. that she did yeah. say at the end that in all of her cases that she'd studied, they were always there witnessing the death. And that she had never found a case where the erotophonophiliist was not there in person witnessing the death. And that kind of raised a red flag point. For me, because yeah. then that's exactly what Dr. Well. Rhodes talked about. He said the murder has to be hands-on, and this wasn't the case.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be. She's just saying, I haven't come across this before. Right. She didn't say it's not possible.
Right.
And then he cut her off before she could explain it further. Mm. He cut her off at saying,
well,
yes.
Well, that was her opinion. But she was about to give more of her opinion.
She could have said, and I think she probably would have said, that it's not impossible, it's just she hasn't seen it before. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen in this case.
I was shocked that the prosecution didn't make a better attempt to, you know, bring modern technology into their narrative, and that, like, yeah, with the internet and with cell phones, like, we're all so much more intimately connected mm-hmm. than
That's
we used
point.
To be. Yeah.
That's true.
And so the fact that she's never come across this before, to me, doesn't mean anything, because right. there's going to be new advents
right.
in this
right.
every
exactly.
day.
The thing
right.
that did strike me also, though, during Dr. Mesnick's testimony, they read that terrifying message from November 26, 2012, where she describes essentially, I don't know if it's a fantasy or whatever, about draining the life from Troy, and mm-hmm. he's on board too. Right. But that was from 2012.
I know, we're talking
that was
several
4 years
ago.
Yeah. I mean, if that's could not... have done this, and in that message, he was obviously game for whatever she wanted. He said so in that conversation. Why wouldn't she have done it right away, or
because I think
3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Let's think about the possibility that it moved from fantasy to I'm going to actually do this, right. because it seems pretty clear that at that point she was at least fantasizing about his death. And mm-hmm. what our expert said is that's a part of the erotophonophilia,
yeah,
is
Carl,
fantasy
we've
about
all
murder.
Fantasized about it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Not me.
Maybe
you
disagree.
Not me. Disagree.
Dominic,
can I just stop you? There's a big difference between fantasy and acting out on yeah. that fantasy.
And we can't prosecute someone for their thoughts.
Exactly.
However, there's a big difference for you. From fantasy reality, but she's already doing this stuff that's leading up to that
yeah.
point.
Can I just ask,
she
can I ask a hypothetical question to Dominic
How is it
right
leading
now?
Up?
Because
Dominic.
She already is choking a guy with a rope around his neck. It's not that far to say, all right, now I'm just going to tie the knot and you're going to die.
Well, then
it's
she would have done
a,
it earlier.
It's not a huge leap.
Anyway,
no,
Dominic.
It doesn't, you it, can't say that.
Okay. I thank you for being so candid and saying, of course we've all fantasized about crazy things, be they not... you know, killing someone or
so
whatever.
So you admit that this
but
is
no.
crazy then?
I'm using
case
terminology.
Closed. Case closed.
No. So if you fantasize about something, if you were to have a fantasy about killing someone, isn't it always doing it yourself in person?
No, you can't say that.
I don't know. I've never had that fantasy.
Maybe yours
I mean,
is.
But this is a real slippery slope. Because
it is.
I mean, courts have ruled on this in the past, is that you cannot convict someone based on their thoughts.
Right, but
true,
we're not.
But,
she right. did it.
But
he's dead.
Aren't
she,
her thoughts
she
integral
put him in a place
to whether
right.
it's premeditated?
Yes, like and that's that. What we're talking about. Is
and there's no statute of limitations on when.
So
the
she
killing
premeditated
has to
it 5 years ago.
Well, what we know is
maybe.
That she was at least
ago.
Thinking about him dying mm-hmm. from that point. It's not like there's no evidence that she ever thought about or fantasized about his death. We have evidence that years before she fantasized about it. So
which
it's
means
not,
he
it's
had
not,
4 years to realize, oh my God, this relationship's going to end
no,
in my death. I should get out of
that's
it.
That's not how
that's
it works
true.
Because remember the conversation with the closet where he said when he was in the closet, he thought, I don't like this. I want to get out of here. And he couldn't. And there was another thing. I forget exactly what it was, but he said that her words are stronger than anything else. So regardless what she said, he was going to do it. So we have to stop thinking that, oh, if he was worried about it was dangerous or something, he was going to stop, because that's not how this worked. She said
so
it.
Carl
he did
wrote
it.
Off his free will in 2012 when they started dating. Nothing
Troy.
That Troy has. No, Carl
oh,
wrote
Carl.
Off
oh,
Troy's free will.
Free will in 2012.
In 2012. Nothing that Troy Singer has done in the last 4 years was of his own volition.
Right, because that's how the relationship works. That's
so
been established.
Job,
but
his
what about
car
self-preservation?
They live the lifestyle. He can't go to the bathroom unless she tells him.
Right, but at the end of the day, do you think that he's willing to go to the step where he is willing to die for her?
Yes, he said that throughout the messages
back and
forth.
But you just said, he said he is willing to die for her.
That's on
him.
So
that's on him.
That's not the same thing, because it's not him making a rational choice.
So can we just talk about these three motives mm-hmm. that the prosecution has posited, and which is most compelling to each of us? It sounds like we're kind of zeroing in on the erotophonophilia
yes.
aspect. Yeah. The money is garbage, right?
Yeah.
That's not valid.
I don't know how you feel, Janet, but I think we all still feel the money's garbage.
I think it could have
if nothing
a
else,
small
it's the weakest.
Factor,
of
right.
It's the
right.
weakest.
It's definitely
the
weakest.
Yeah.
Good sense. Point. Yeah.
And Carl, do you still put any credence into her being in love with somebody else?
No, I think that she might not even be capable of real love. But so I don't put a lot of credence into that argument either. I would say that the lust killing is the one that I would.
And
put
I agree.
Vote behind, yeah.
Yeah.
The lust
too.
Killing is the first time in this whole trial that I've actually started to have doubts.
But can we just discuss also the journey that the prosecution has taken us on? They don't have a solid case, and so they've given us three different possible motives. They're like grasping at straws.
Yeah, but this lust mm-hmm. killing one is really resonating.
Well, why didn't
with
they
me?
Lead off yeah. with the lust killing?
I know.
Kind
it
of
seems
confused
a little weird.
Me.
But also, we're not, this isn't a law class. We're not here to debate yeah. the ability of the prosecutor to and why they did things. I think we just have to look at what was presented. Yeah. And like he said, if we discount the other two motives, but we buy this one, then then let's just forget about the other two and focus on this. Right?
I don't know. I mean, I part of me agrees with you, and the other part of me feels like they're grasping at straws and that they're not even convinced of their own argument.
It could have also been a calculated decision to drop this at the end.
That's
like,
true.
Into
right. It's very true.
Into
maybe they
very
didn't
true.
Realize it till the end. Like, I don't
Or they
I
didn't
don't
feel
know.
Like the case was going well.
I just think that the case for this, the argument for this, if we look at her personality, if we look at the facts of the case and what happened, if we look at the relationship, if we look at the expert testimony, they all support lust killing.
Remember
as a
motive. Dr. Rhodes, not all expert testimony supports that theory.
While the jury is forced to deliberate these exchanges in a disciplined setting, the media explored them with far fewer boundaries.
I don't understand how a person saying, "I want to watch the life drain out of you," suggests anything other than a desire to kill.
Carmen.
How can you even make that argument?
I'm not saying anything different than what thousands of people from an oppressed community are saying.
Oppressed? You're calling kinky people oppressed?
Yes, I am calling kinky people oppressed. Because when private conversations are made public, these people are made out to look like hedonists and killers, when really they're exploring
Come on.
A perfectly normal means of sexual expression.
Perfectly? Okay. Telling your boyfriend you want to kill him is perfectly normal. Okay.
No. Exploring a dark fantasy in a safe environment with a partner you trust is normal.
Well, actually, I don't know how safe that environment was, considering someone died.
If you're just joining, we're discussing the latest developments in the Samantha Hall trial. We're here with Warren Tremont, author of The Safety of Risk.
One of the things submissive partners seek most from their sexual experience is freedom. Freedom from the burden of the decision-making and their everyday pressures. Relinquishing control to their partners is a way to feel free.
But Singer's 2012 messages seem to go beyond a mere concession of agency. Do you know what I mean? Talks about forfeiting one's life seem extreme.
That was fantasy talk. It wasn't real. They were spinning an illusion together that was exciting for them both. And the sad thing is, because a tragedy occurred 3 years later, these exchanges are now being used to castigate an entire community of people.
But...
Frankly, I don't know what Samantha Hall did, and what happens to her doesn't matter to me. But I take issue with the way her treatment by law enforcement, by the state, and in the media is now impacting a group of people who are already suffering enough. BDSM practitioners, there's a reason why every account on every fetish website is anonymous. And that isn't because they're shady. It's because they're being judged. Now, Samantha Hall is being judged, literally, not on her actions, but on her sexuality. which is wrong by anyone's standard.
No, in fairness, she isn't being judged on her sexuality, but on whether her sexuality induced her to harm somebody else.
It didn't.
Sounds like you do actually care what happens to her.
Well, yeah, I guess I do.
The word concrete is often used to describe the law because of how unrelenting a compound it is. But concrete is porous and destructible. The law is a series of words, subject to interpretation like any series of words, and the difference in a handful could mean decades of imprisonment. Next time on Deliberations.
She was rough.
Sam, call me back.
Was she upset that she'd hurt him?
No, she didn't seem to care.
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and launches as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Macklin McLaughey, Sam Britton, Sierra Marks, Lindsay Rousseau, Adam El-Sharkawi, and Alice Bowden. News and Courtroom, Allison Brown, Michael Cortez, Shelley Hillman, Theron LaFountain, Jessica McKay, Jacob Olivier, Victoria Dunn, and Richard Fullman. Find me on Twitter at DeliberationPod or join the conversation on Facebook by searching for Deliberations Room. I'm writing a second season now, and every bit of support this podcast is receiving helps. Thank you to everyone who subscribed, rated, and reviewed. Without your interest, this would be the end of our journey. So again, thank you. See you next week.